song, where it says, "Though we are few, we're surrounded by many who have crossed the river before." I know that when I get up and I speak to a group of people, that the saints that have gone on to be with God are with me. You know, we partake, like Father Carl was talking about, the open heaven, like that you partake in that, and that there are saints around the altar who say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." But among those saints that God reminded me of, there are saints who are on the earth a long time. There are saints that died martyrs. And there are saints who are only here for just a little tiny while. And they're up in heaven with God, and they pray for us. There's millions of them. And so they stand, when we speak for life, they stand with us too, and they say, "Yes, speak for life." That's their prayer. That's what they pray. So just wanted to share that. Okay, so I have a video. Cue up the video, please. Father Terry says that technology never works for him, but if I'm there, it works. So I think I have like a special gift to make technology work for me. Video from the Radiance Foundation, and Ryan Bomberger, the director, he's the one that's going to be speaking at our rally. And I love the Radiance Foundation. If you get a chance to look at their website or look at their YouTube videos, like, they do really great videos in a very digestible and easy to understand way, and they're usually very compelling, like that one. I love that video. As many of you are probably aware, this year marks 40 years of legalized abortion in our country. And in scripture, 40 is a very significant number. It tends to show up during a time of testing or trial. Noah in the ark, he reigned 40 days, 40 nights. Israel wandered the desert for 40 years. Nineveh was given 40 days to repent. Jesus spent 40 days and nights in the desert. 40 is almost always full of distress and suffering. But after 40, something significant and new always seems to happen. The rainbow appears. Israel crosses the Jordan. Nineveh repents, much to Jonah's dismay if you've read the story. Jesus begins his ministry. The video that we just watched shows very clearly what abortion has spent 40 years destroying. For 40 years, abortion has devastated my generation's future. Over 53 million American children have been slaughtered in the womb. You guys probably hear that number all the time, but it's a number that I keep in my mind every single day. And that's actually only counting surgical abortions, just so you know. That's not counting chemical abortions, and it's not counting abortions that never get reported, and there are many. So that number is probably a lot higher. But my generation has never known a single day during which life in the womb was legally protected in this country, ever. But 40 is almost over, and today is the Feast of Our Lord, the Giver of Life, so I wanted to talk about good news to encourage your hearts. How many of you saw the Time magazine cover last week? Did anybody see it? Yes, no. Jim Pinto talked about the March for Life. It was a picture of a table where a woman would lay down to have an abortion. And it said, 40 years ago, abortion rights activists won an epic victory with Roe v. Wade. They've been losing ever since. That may be the truest statement that Time magazine has ever made. This is the same magazine that just declared the most pro-abortion president that our country has ever seen, Person of the Year. But we are not talking about the bad news. We are talking about the good news. So I want to verify the statement that Time magazine printed on the front. So did you know that in 1991, I think that's 22 years ago if I did my math correctly, I'm not good at math, there were over 2,000 surgical abortion clinics in America. Does anybody want to take a guess at how many there are today? Throw out a number. 692. Close. 650. There are about 650 that are there today. 2,000, over 2,000, 22 years ago. And if you keep up with pro-life news, they are closing very fast. In fact, there are currently 4 states in the country with only 1 abortion clinic: North Dakota, South Dakota, Arkansas, and Mississippi. And the one in Mississippi, which many of you might know is also owned by the same woman who owned New Woman All Woman, which closed last year, they just missed a Friday deadline for a new regulation that the state implemented in the spring. They said that abortionists, they made a law that in Mississippi that all abortionists are required to have admitting privileges in the hospital for the safety of the patients in a local hospital. They applied to 7 hospitals. All 7 turned them down. Many of them turned them down specifically because they were an abortion clinic, and they told them that was why they were turning them down. Some didn't even bother to answer. That clinic could be shut down as early as March, and we are praying that they shut it down. Hallelujah. Mississippi would become the first state in the country with no abortion clinics. That's huge. 40 years is almost over. In our own state, just a week or so ago, the Alabama Supreme Court, I don't know if you saw this decision, but they decided that they made a ruling that laws regarding chemical endangerment of children now apply, or have always applied, is really what they ruled, to born and preborn children. That means if a woman is pregnant and she's using illegal drugs like crystal meth and that kills her child, that she can be prosecuted for the death of that child. That might not sound like a big deal, but that's huge, because it gives dignity and personhood to the preborn child, which was taken away in Roe v. Wade. And cases like that are happening more and more, because 40 years is almost over. Nancy Keenan, the president of NARAL, the National Abortion and Reproductive Rights League, which is one of the biggest abortion advocates in our country, she just quit her job. Not because she had a conversion, that would be nice. She quit because they can't get young people to join the pro-abortion movement, and they think choosing a younger president will close the gap. You know what I think would close the gap? Not killing us off one by one and then asking us to be okay with it. That would probably go a really long way with our generation. Planned Parenthood is having the same problem. Last week, Planned Parenthood announced, with a very select group of reporters and only on like 3 websites, very quietly announced that they are dropping the word pro-choice because our generation doesn't relate to it. They say that our generation really is pro-choice, but we just don't like labels. So they're going to take away the label, and they have this new campaign called In Her Shoes. And so the whole thing is about how we don't want to be labeled pro-choice or pro-life because every scenario is different. So, of course, we just want to be free to, you know, experience each situation. So they're just trying to just take the argument away completely because they know they're losing. Sorry, I lost my... I rewrote. Let me show you this. I woke up at 4 in the morning, and God had me rewrite, like, half of this. So it's, like, all over the place. Anyway, sorry. Planned Parenthood should come to the March for Life. And they should look at the sea of young people that are there, because our generation is becoming increasingly pro-life. Why? Because 1 in 4 women in our country have an abortion, and those women are between the ages of 18 and 30. That's our generation. We are done carrying the cost of abortion, and we are going to win this fight. Amen? So the world wants us to be really afraid to confront evil. Satan wants us to be really afraid to confront evil, and he's doing a really good job with abortion. He has done a really great job these last 40 years. And I used to think that it was apathy. I used to think that Christians maybe just didn't care. But apathy really is just a defense mechanism that helps you function around the problem, because the problem itself is too overwhelming. And so many, many people will never challenge evil because they fear what will happen when the evil challenges back, and they don't think they can win. They don't. It's very disheartening. So in 1973, abortion advocates convinced the public and the courts that we needed abortion. And how did they do that? They did it through fear. They said if we didn't legalize abortion, women would be dying in back alleys, just all over the place. And that's like an understatement, because the actual statistic that they used was that somewhere between 5,000 and 10,000 women every year were dying from illegal abortions. That's what they presented to the Supreme Court justices for Roe v. Wade. Not one bit of evidence to actually support that statistic, but it didn't matter, because the doctors said it, and then the media sold it, and then the public panicked, and they got behind Roe v. Wade. Does anyone know the actual number of women dying from illegal abortions at that time? Around 250. 250 women each year, which is still lives lost. But 250 isn't scary enough. That wasn't going to scare anyone, so they lied. When a young girl walks into an abortion clinic, the people in that building are going to confirm two things for her. One, that she's pregnant. Two, that she should be very, very afraid of that situation. You can't bring a child into the world. You can't even take care of yourself. A child is expensive. Ruin your future. You can't finish school with a child. Let us help you. Let us save you from this terrifying situation. Abortion thrives on fear. So when I meet Christians who get really worried and anxious if I start talking about abortion, it really breaks my heart, because they're not backing away from me. I'm really not that scary, I don't think. What they're backing away from is the fear that they will have to confront something that they can't defeat. But we know that evil is already defeated, that abortion is already defeated, and that is why we celebrate on this feast day. God gave me this scripture about a month ago, and it's Isaiah 8, 12 through 14. It was in our daily readings a while back. And it says, "And you are not to fear what they fear or be in dread of it. It is the Lord of hosts whom you should regard as holy, and he shall be your fear, and he shall be your dread. Then he shall become a sanctuary." And Isaiah, when he's speaking to a group of people that are waiting to be attacked. They're just hanging out, waiting to get attacked. And God tells them not to be afraid of that, as he always told the Israelites when they were going to be attacked. He constantly told them not to be afraid. And every time I would drive down to the New Woman, All Woman clinic to go and pray, I could feel like the fear in my chest. Like my stomach would tighten up and my heart would beat really fast and I get a little out of breath. And like I knew that I was on my way to stand face to face with one of the darkest evils in this nation. An evil that would very happily rip my heart out of my chest if it could get away with it. Like, it's just a complete spirit of destruction. But instead of ignoring it, I would just address it. And I would pray out loud, either in my car or before I walked over. I would pray and I would ask God to do battle. And I would declare that ground and that moment to be the Lord's. And I would give myself over to his protection. Just like Father Terry talked about last week, we give ourselves as living sacrifices, even when we're scared. Anyone who looks at my Facebook knows that I love G.K. Chesterton. Several other people in the room do as well. And I believe that there is a G.K. quote for every occasion, including this one. And one of the one that I love is, "Courage is almost a contradiction in terms. It means a strong desire to live, taking the form of a readiness to die." I do not particularly want to die. But when it comes to serving the author and finisher of our faith, I will lay down all that he requires. And when it comes to defending the life and dignity of innocent preborn children who have absolutely no way of defending themselves, I will lay down all that is required. When Christians were being persecuted and scattered in the New Testament, Peter wrote to them, and he quoted Isaiah. In 1 Peter 3:14, he says, "Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. If I can tell you anything on this feast day to celebrate the Lord, our giver of life, for the year 2013, it is never be afraid to challenge evil, because evil is incapable of challenging God. And Jesus Christ, his one and only Son, dwells inside you. One of the words that God keeps giving me for this year is expansion. And I really, like, wholeheartedly believe that this is a year of expansion for CEC for Life, for the pro-life movement, and for the church. I think that worship today was a perfect example of that. Because the darker days get, and the darker our own society gets, the more vibrant the culture of death takes over, the brighter the light of Christ shines. And we're that light. So since it's the feast day, in a few minutes, we're going to take up the tithes and offerings. And we take up today a special offering for CEC for Life. And this offering literally allows us to keep working. We take it up once a year. It kind of sets the tone for our yearly budget. But more than that, it enables this communion, the entire CEC, to save the lives of preborn children and to build up an international community that not only believes all life is sacred, but is also able to effectively and courageously fight for it. And that's what your offering does. It's an investment in the culture of life, a winning battle. And God will use it to do amazing things. Last year, God used it to shut down an abortion clinic. There are literally hundreds of children who will be born in Alabama this year because that abortion mill is shut down. And that's what you guys are a part of. That's what your offering does. Sorry, got distracted again. Because I wanted to talk about the year of expansion again. But I really do believe that. It was just such a good word. It's just a word that God's been saying over and over again. Expansion, expansion, expansion. And it's getting bigger. And so I really thank you guys. Like, I thank you. You guys support us throughout the year. And I know that, like, today is a special offering. And so I really hope that you'll participate. But I also want you to know that we, like, deeply appreciate all your prayers throughout the rest of the year. And I'll turn it over to Father Carl.